with this heart open wide, from the depths, from the heights, I will bring a sacrifice. With these hands lifted high, hear my song, hear my cry, I will bring a sacrifice.
Aren't you thankful for God's grace today? And I know there's some days where we need more of it than others, some days when things are going great and there's blessings coming from everywhere, and then there's other days where we're just like, I don't even know what to do today. And but His grace is always there like rain to wash over you, whatever you need for that day. Amen. So let's proclaim this truth. Song, one of my mom's favorites, is called Victory in Jesus, and how much that we need to proclaim this in this day and age where we really need victory over the darkness, and we hold that in our hands as Christians, amen. We need to proclaim it in this crazy place we're in right now. People need to hear truth this morning. So if you guys know this, sing it out.
Came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary.
Before I start this next song, this is found in Luke 7, starting at verse 36. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him, so Jesus went into the Pharisee's house and sat at the table. A sinful woman in the town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, so she brought an alabaster jar of perfume and stood behind Jesus at his feet, crying. She began to wash his feet with her tears, and she dried them with her hair, kissing them many times and rubbing them with the perfume. When the Pharisee who asked Jesus to come to his house saw this, he thought to himself, if Jesus were a prophet, he would know that the woman touching him is a sinner. In my head, I'm thinking, duh, don't you think he knows that? That's why she's there, right? And you just think, if you put yourself in the position of this woman, she was probably at her lowest point. It's just a sinful woman, whatever that meant, I don't need to know. But Jesus knew what she did. And she knew that if she just could get to him and lay everything at his feet, that she would have forgiveness. And that just is such a, I know you've probably heard that story probably a million times, but I just, I've been listening to this song from a playlist that my church, my mom's church had put out. And it's called Alabaster Heart, and it's by Bethel Music, and some of you may know it. And it just really brought me back to this, and this is the whole point of the song, that this is, you know, we need to just lay everything at his feet. That jar of perfume probably was worth more than she, in probably all she had. And she laid that all out at his feet and brought herself to that depth right down to the ground and washed his feet with her hair. You know, how low do you get? And how, what a place in your life do you have to be in to get there? And every day we need to be doing that and guarding our heart. And this song, the chorus says, let it rise like incense, my whole life a fragrance, every ounce broken at your feet. I hope that's your prayer this morning, because we really need that right now. We need to be open to what God has in store for us, but just lay it all out there at his feet every day. So if you guys know this, feel free to sing it out. If you don't, just listen to the words.
Back from who you are, hidden
hope you come here expecting that the Holy Spirit is going to be on this place. I hope that's your prayer as you come here. And this song is called Holy Spirit Rain Down. And I hope that's your heart today, that you will leave here changed. Holy Spirit, rain down, rain down. O Comforter and Friend, how we need your touch.
If this pandemic continues on much longer, I might start having snacks for the adults too, right? Anything to bring a little bit of joy, right? That would be a good way to sell it, right? Let's use it for all we can. Anyway, I'm so glad that you came to church today. You know, I don't know about you, but my week was kind of all over the place. And I do love when we can come together as a family and we can focus in on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And as we focus on him, it's amazing how our situations kind of fade away in his presence. Amen? We need him. And we've been talking about that. In the midst of this storm, this never-ending pandemic, we want you to keep living your faith, to just keep living this godly life that God has for you. And I know that's not easy, but that's why we're looking into this passage in 2 Peter chapter 1. And if you've missed any of these series, we're only on number 4, I think, this week. You can go back and you can listen to them so that you're kind of brought up to date. But it's this principle that we are called to be good trees, and good trees produce what? Good fruit, right? They go hand in hand. You shouldn't have one without the other. If you're a great, big, awesome-looking tree and you ain't producing fruit, that should be a red flag to you, right? And so we've been given everything we need to live a godly life despite the times. And so our whole question has been, are you living that godly life? You know, and as we live that godly life, Peter challenges us to add to our faith. Add to your faith. When are you done growing? Never, right? Until your very last breath, and then you become the new creation. So if you're becoming a new creation, that means you ain't that new creation yet. So there's still growth to have, amen? And you should be excited about that, amen? Right? Curlin and I were dealing with something online. We had kind of a heckler online today, and we're like, how are we going to deal with that? I said, through love. But let's address it. Now everybody's going to go to the Facebook page and see what's going on. That's okay. That's fine. We had some people saying that we shouldn't be doing Halloween on a Sunday. And I kind of reminded them that I think our kids have been through enough that we should celebrate our kids even if it happens to fall on a Sunday. And we gave her a verse to check out. Right? Amen? Those are the things that we need to be thinking about. There's godly life where we let our light shine and it encourages the world around us. And last week, Kirtland broke it down. We're to add to our faith what? He said goodness. In the Greek, it's pronounced arete. It's a virtue that lives within you, a light that does not go out, that points the way. That goodness should be in you. Are you adding to your faith goodness every day? I hope that you are, because in these times, it's pretty easy to get negative, isn't it? He went on to say that we're to add to our faith knowledge. In the Greek, it's gnosis. Do you add to your knowledge in the midst of the storm? And really what that is, those two things, goodness and knowledge, that's a recipe for discipleship. Isn't that beautiful? That we could grow in our goodness as we inhale God. And what does it do? It gives us knowledge to live out our faith. It's a beautiful thing. How many people still need to be discipled? We all do, right? Like you read Paul, and Paul lived his whole life giving unto others and kind of trying to pay back, even though we know that Christ did it all on the cross. But some of the bad things that he did, he was always reminded of those, and he said, I'm the worst of sinners. I'm the chief of sinners. Even that day when his earthly life came to an end, right? He was still working on his godliness, the godly life that God had called him to. And so we want to continue with that list today in 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 5 and 6 so that we're kind of up to date. It says, for this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance. And you are thinking, wonderful. I came during a time when Andrew's talking about self-control and perseverance. If there was ever a Sunday I should have stayed home or went to the Baptist church, it was today. Right? Again, those are some hard topics, aren't they? Like self-control and perseverance, those are tough ones, right? Especially in the day in which we're living, in the times in which we're living. You know what? At times, we're a mess. How many would confess that? Yeah, we have bad days, right? But they shouldn't be your norm, right? Let's look at self-control this morning. We could stop right there, couldn't we? Let me say a few words and let the Holy Spirit move within you. Self-control when it comes to cake. Oh, that's awful. How about this one? Self-control when it comes to anger. I had somebody confess to me they were behaving really well, trying to do their very best to stay behind someone who was driving too slow on the highway. The first opportunity they had to pass them, They did the gentlemanly thing. They turned on their single light. They went to go past this lady, a little blue-haired lady. And he said when he got right beside her, up came the big old bird. And he was shocked. And I said, we're living in a time where anger is everywhere. How about gossip? Do you show self-control? And you know what? Some of those topics are pretty tough, but let's get into some of the things that we try to justify. You know, we need self-control when it comes to our play. Did you know that? I know some grown men who spend more time playing than they do raising their family, and that's an abuse. It's not showing self-control at all. How about work? Oh, we justify it. But if you're working too much and you're missing the things that are really important, well, then I would challenge you. You're not showing self-control at all. How about inactivity? Right? We've gone one way. Let's go the other. You know, there's some people who are taking advantage of CERB, and yet every business in our community is looking for workers, but a lot of people don't want to work. Why? Because it's easier to stay home and get free money. That's an abuse. Self-control. Do we need it? We do. The Greek word is ekratia. It refers to the mastering of desires and passions. And so when we think of that word, there's a lot of times we go to the physical lusts, don't we? But this word ekratia, they use it to talk about athletes having control over their body, right? Not bowing to the desires that would feel good or the wants of the body, but having discipline and restraint without self-control. How often do you see people get out of balance, right? And the excuse is always the same. Maybe you've said this one. Have you ever heard this one at least? Certainly you've probably thought it. Well, I didn't mean to, Pastor. Oh, that's a terrible, awful thing to come out of your mouth. Of course you didn't mean to. You're here, moron, because you're in trouble. You share the trouble, and your only response is you didn't mean to. Thanks, Sherlock. Right? Or this one. I get this one. Well, Pastor, I didn't mean to. It just happened so fast. And I'm going, actually, it didn't happen fast. You weren't showing self-control months, maybe years before this, and you started making little compromises in your life, and you started to snuggle up to sin, and before you knew it, you got burnt. And you're saying it all happened so fast when in actuality it's been happening for years. You see, self-control is about paying attention. Self-control is about being spiritually alert. You guys may know or not know, Allison stopped doing the crossing guard this year. Home Harder wanted her to work a little more. And she said, well, I'm going to do that, I think. And then the town called me and said, your wife is quitting. I said, I know, she's my wife. And they said, well, you're the alternate. And I said, I know. And they said, we would really like to not have an opening, and we would like the alternate to step up. And I said, that's me. So all of a sudden I said, sure, but I said, we still need an alternate. So then I suggested Kirtland. I said, you know what? The kids and the families at the elementary school, they know Kirtland anyway. Why don't we bring Kirtland on as a sub? And I'm thinking, because my day off is Thursday. I don't want to go to work Thursday. Right? And then if I get Kirtland to work Friday, well, then I don't have to get up as early on Friday either. So I'm saying, let's bring him on as the alternate. Sure enough, all of a sudden we're working over there. Well, just this past week, it's interesting. You may say, why in the world do they need a crossing guard when there's all this signage there? Just this week, I am standing in the middle of the crosswalk. Children are coming by. I don't know if you've noticed, but I'm not a little feller. Okay? Now, picture this. Okay, I'm wearing a neon yellow coat with glowing crosses that are orange in the middle of it. I'm holding a stop sign that reflects lights that are pointed at it, and I'm standing in the middle of the crossing guard, and children are coming through, and there's a car that's waiting. No sooner does the last child get out of the way, and guess what she does? She bumps my leg, and I go, boom! And she goes, oh, I'm going, you can't say you didn't see me. I'm as big as a mountain, right? I'm neon. Like, what in the world is wrong, right? And she just kind of did one of these, I'm going, it's not funny. It's my knee, right? And I said, wait. And then I moved out of the way, and then I went like this to kind of explain to her that, you know what, you need to be paying attention. You know what she would have gave me if she had hit me or even worse, a child? She would have said, I don't know how it happened. It happened so fast. You know what? Sometimes we use that excuse in the spiritual realm, and shame on us. You are called to live a godly life and to show self-control. You're supposed to be living alert. You're supposed to be living aware. And make no mistake, it's you and I that make choices that either make or break us, that either make our testimony shine or we spit on the name of God. You know, one of my pet peeves, like the school, and they teach sex education. And it's funny. It's one of those things. Victoria and I had this conversation, and they were like, you will have sex, so this is how you have it safely. And I'm going, no! Animals will have sex. Young men and women make choices. Let's teach them about responsibility and abstinence. Well, they're going to have sex. I said, you have no self-control. Amazing. Self-control. It goes hand in hand with your productivity and your effectiveness. That, you know what, when we see lives going off the rails, it's because we see people that are no longer paying attention to the Spirit. When I see Christians who are falling, it's because they stopped living alert. And you know, you don't have to fail. When we walk in step with the Spirit, He can give you strength to be self-disciplined, to have control. That life doesn't have to go sideways. God dreams of so much more for you, and you should be worried about it, and you should want it. What is it? It's called holiness. That these accidents, we're so quick to use that word. Well, it was an accident, Andrew. No, it wasn't. Over time, you made compromises, and you stopped paying attention, and now you're in a mess. You want to know, when I see people who are living successful lives, it's not by chance that their bills get paid. It's not by chance because they went to work. It's not by chance that they're working. It's not by chance if you have a healthy relationship or marriage. It's not by chance. It's about priorities. It's about paying attention. Those who have goals seem to achieve them. Did you ever notice that? It's not by accident. Self-control is all about seeking holiness. Well, what is holiness? Like, think about that word. What is holiness? All the things that are good, all the things that are beneficial, all the things that are praiseworthy, all the things that are pure, without blemish or stain, those things, the things of God, those are the things you're supposed to be seeking in your life. We're going to talk about it more next week. But it comes out in your habits. It comes out in your habits. It comes out in your work. Right? One of the verses that was drilled into me when I was back in university by one particular professor, which is kind of fun, and I used to like to push his buttons on this because he was in love with holiness. Leviticus 19:2 says, be holy because I, the Lord your God, am holy. And so I used to like getting mad. I'd push those little buttons, and whenever he'd blow up at me, I'd say, you're not holy at all. It didn't help my grade, but it was really, really fun, right? You can see I'm a little demented, but that's okay. But what is this idea of holiness? In the Greek, it's called kadosh, right? Kadosh, it's to be sacred. Are you sacred? It's to be set apart. Are you set apart? And you know, that's a loaded question. That you are no longer sinners if you found the Lord Jesus Christ and salvation. You are now saints. And so, yes, you are sacred, and yes, you are set apart. But what are you doing to glorify those titles given to you? Are you seeking the things that are sacred? Because if not, whoo, your status can change fast. I don't know how it happened, Pastor. It just happened so fast. Are you seeking the sacred? Are you seeking the things that are set apart? You know, one of the verses changed my life was 2 Corinthians 7:1. Let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates the body and the spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. You think of your relationship with God. You think of all of the things that God has done for you. You think of how He made a way. Is He worthy?
So are you seeking the things that are set apart and good? Are you trying to get rid of everything that contaminates the body and spirit? You see, that's what self-control is all about. It's about purity, isn't it? The contaminants, fleeing the contaminants. What are the contaminants? Anything can contaminate you. If you start to love your stuff and it gets a place before God, guess what? That stuff is a contaminant. Sometimes the way you act becomes a contaminant. When somebody's passing you on the highway and you feel like maybe they've been tailgating you, you throw them the finger. That's not showing the love of Jesus. It's even more shocking when it's a little lady, right? Do you know that sometimes your friends are a contaminant? Do you need to love everyone? Yeah. But you know, I've seen these relationships where people say, well, you know, Pastor, I am just trying so hard to win them to Jesus. And then I think in my mind, and usually I pull them aside and I'll say, you know what? I hang out with you guys all the time. If you're trying to win them for Jesus, how come I never ever hear you talking about Jesus, but some of the awful things that I hear them talking about, I hear you joining in on? Sounds like somebody's being won. It doesn't sound like your friend. Your desires? You know, some of your desires are good, but just they still get in the way of what's best. I'll give you an example of that. My dad. My dad died in 2016, and I miss him, and he was a hero of mine, and I love him, and one day I will see him in the streets of glory after Jesus. He's probably the one that I want to see the most. You know, and I have that promise, and it is awesome, but here's the deal. When I was a kid, I didn't know the man. You want to know why? Because my dad said that he worked very hard so that I could have the things that he didn't have. I didn't know him, and the things that he provided didn't mean much to me either because I was a young man making terrible decisions, doing things on my own. I remember the day that my dad was supposed to be watching us, but he was working. My brother almost shot me with the 12-gauge. I actually have that 12-gauge today. He almost shot me through the door, showing a friend how the gun worked. Nice place, genius, showing him in the house, right? I was on the other side of the door. All of a sudden, the door blew into a million pieces, and there was this great big hole. I looked through the hole really quickly because I didn't want the second shot to come, and there's my brother dropping the gun and our neighbor friend just leaving, just running, getting out of there, right? My mom says, what happened? I said, Dad was looking after us, right? My dad worked and worked and worked and worked and worked until finally he got sick. And they told us, seven specialists told us that he was dead. Strokes, seven strokes. Crazy, right? Blood as thick as gel going through his veins. And I remember them saying, he's gone. And there's no way he was coming out of this. When he was in the coma, he was arguing with God, and he said, God, my life is a mess, and I know better, and I want to tell you now that I love you, and I ask you to forgive me. And if this is all I get, I'm thankful for this moment, and promise me that you'll look after my family, because I've done a terrible job of doing that. But he said, if you heal me, God, then nothing changes. This is still the best moment of my life. And if I come out of this and you give me another chance, I'm going to start looking after my family the way they deserve. When my dad woke up from his coma, they said he'd never walk. They said he'd never talk. 4 months later, we brought him home from the hospital. And I started to know a man that became a hero because he showed me Jesus. It wasn't about work. It was about raising his family as a godly man. He left me nothing. Other than that shotgun that almost killed me, he left me nothing in this life. And you know what? I am the richest man because of what he left me eternally. He showed self-control. He gave me a heavenly father after that. So when your focus becomes God, guess what happens? You make better choices. When you put self-control into action and you add to your faith that, guess who benefits? You benefit, but not just you. Everybody who is in your sphere of influence, it'll change your family. It'll change your relationships.
It'll change the status in the community. It'll change your character, because when we seek God, holiness transforms us. And you are to add self-control. You're to add that pursuit to your faith. Do you? Do you actively seek self-control in your life? It's sure easy to do what you want, but that's not always best. The benefits are incredible. Again, let's continue on. 2 Peter 1:6. Make every effort to add to your faith self-control, and to self-control what? Perseverance. Perseverance. What is that? That's one of those big words. And I like to do this. Sometimes you can find out what something is by looking at what it is not, right? So perseverance. Well, let's look at what it is not. Have you ever felt like quitting? It doesn't matter what it is. It could be something as simple as a 2,038-piece puzzle of which you don't know, but there's two pieces missing. Right? I can't get past this spot. I just don't understand. And you walk away. Okay, there's other puzzles. You know what? Maybe one day you'll figure it out. That's not a big deal. Some of those things that we walk away from are really meaningless, but then there's other things that are really important, like a marriage or your children. Did you ever feel like giving up? Did the pain ever feel like it was just too much and you're fed up and you just need to turn and walk the other way? I want to tell you, that's not perseverance. That when we give up, we lack perseverance. And there are things that you probably should walk away from, but if you are not seeking self-control and the Holy Spirit is not leading you, then how are you going to know the difference on the things that you should walk away from? Because you know what? Things get hard. Things get hard, and there's times where you do walk away. I like reading about the underdog. And this week, it was so cool. I just happened to be reading about Albert Einstein again. Again, one of the most brilliant minds that has kind of transformed science, math, and all those sorts of things. Do you know that Albert Einstein was told by one of his high school teachers that he should drop out? That's incredible to me. Like, he was brilliant and excelled at math, but everything else kind of just seemed to be out of his grasp. And because he was socially awkward, because he was so smart, they thought he was being goofy and not taking school seriously. And one teacher told him, he said, you might as well get out of here and go start a life, because you're never going to do nothing in school. And that's one of the greatest minds that we can think of today. I bet you the world is glad he persevered. Perseverance, again, coming to the Greek, hupomene. Hupomene. It means to be patient. It means to endure. It means a steadfast continuance. It means to stand. I want to ask you this morning, church, do you persevere? Do you show patience in the midst of the storm? The ability to stand steadfast and to endure whatever challenges or valleys life throws at you. You know, what's interesting is this word has a military background. When it says to stand, it literally means to stand your ground. How many know the story of William Wallace? What a fascinating story. If you've ever seen the movie, quite gory, so be aware. There's a reason why it's rated R. Don't watch it while you're eating supper or something like that if you have a weak stomach, right? But William Wallace is kind of this fantastic character. In fact, his sword has toured Digby a couple of times. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but there's pictures of it. Like 6-foot-long sword. It was kind of crazy. But William Wallace is one of those guys who at times changed military battle, if you study his life. And there's one particular battle that was always fascinating. It was called the Battle of Falkirk. And it's actually portrayed in the movie if you ever wanted to see it. But William Wallace was one of the first warriors that history records that stood against a charge of horses. So what happened was, it was kind of interesting. Like, you know how there's kind of military games and military wars, and they kind of study those strategies. Well, in William Wallace's day, one of the strategies used by the enemy is if they had many horses, they would charge men on the battlefield with the horses, crushing the men and mowing them down with the animals. And so William Wallace knew this. He was a studier of strategic warfare. And what he did, he was the first person to ever record to do it. He fashioned long spears. Great big long spears, and he hid them in the grass in Falkirk. And all of a sudden, he knew that it was going to come. And they're standing on the battlefield. And all of a sudden, the enemy gave word that let's charge them in. And so all the horses line up and they start coming. And William Wallace, he already had a plan. And he told his men, he said, you need to hold. You need to hold. Wait till I give my word. Right? And the horses were charging and they were getting closer. You can imagine the fear in the men as the ground started to shake, as the hooves got closer and the sound became deafening. And William kept saying, hold, hold. He didn't want them to know what was coming, because if they saw the spears too soon, they could pull up. And in the last second, he said, now, and they pulled up the spears, and the horses ran into the spears, and his whole army was saved. He persevered. He stood his ground, even though it was shaking, and there are those who wanted to panic. He said, hold, and guess what? It paid off. What I think it's interesting here is Peter is listing all of these things that we need to add to our godly life. He's halfway through the list, and what does he tell us we need to add? We need to add perseverance. Halfway through a list that is hard, he says, hold on. You see, Peter knew that you'd get tired. Peter lived in a day of persecution. He knew that when we were seeking goodness and we were seeking knowledge, that it would be heavy and it would wear on us, because the world doesn't seem to value those things. He knew that when he talked about self-control, that it would be hard, because self-control was hard for him. And then right in the middle of it all, he stops. He stops and he says, hold on. Persevere. Persevere. And you think about this. Right in Peter's day, he had listeners who were going through hard times, and there's a lot of things that are referred to. Look at this in 1 Peter 1:1. He says that his listeners are refugees scattered throughout the earth, right? Being persecuted. This is the people that he's talking to. He's telling us to hold on. He says in 1 Peter 1:6, they suffered all kinds of grief. Chapter 2, verse 12, he says they were falsely accused. He says they had brutal working conditions. They were punished for doing good. 1 Peter 4:12, he says they were punished for their faith. In 1 Peter 5:8, he says that it was Satan himself who was harassing them and threatening them. In 2 Peter 2, he says false teachings were misleading many. And in 2 Peter 3, he says they were mocked by their neighbors. Think about that environment. Scattered, homeless, terrible working conditions, being falsely accused, right? Punished when you do good. They were punished when they let their faith shine, even though they were told to let their faith shine. And every time they stood out, somebody tried to push them down. And he says to his audience, hold on. Hold on. You know, he wasn't writing to people who were sitting there in tunics on bales of hay, holding hands with a guitar, singing Kumbaya. He was talking to people who were going through it. And if you've ever felt like you're going through it, Peter's words are still the same today. Hold on. Hold on. And maybe you felt this. Maybe you felt that there's been times in your life where, you know what, God is just asking too much. Like, think of some of his teachings. Right? That those who are persecuting you, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to pray for them. What you want to do is go buy more ammo. He says, pray for him. Or Jesus says, you know what? When someone hits you on the right side, turn to him your left side too. What? God, are you asking too much? He says that when someone wants your shirt, why don't you give them your coat too? What? And we have those moments. We're walking in the knowledge of Jesus Christ and the salvation he provided. Guess what? That is rough and that is hard. But Peter's saying, persevere. Sometimes it'll feel like Jesus is asking too much, but trust your history with him. Persevere. I think of the words in John chapter 6. Right? This is one of those times Jesus feeds the 5,000. Like, remember that miracle? And again, most scholars would say that it was only men that were counted because of the day in which they lived. Women and children were not seen or heard, type of thing. So 5,000 men, it could have been 25,000 people that he fed on the hillside, because there's always more kids than women, right? So amazing. He feeds, he does this incredible miracle. You read more in John 6 and you see that he walks on water and picks Peter from the peril, right? He's sinking. He says, help. Jesus grabs him, right? All of these miracles are happening and all of these people are following Jesus and there's this great big buzz, but then they start listening to his words and he's saying, if somebody hits you, let him hit you again. What? If somebody wants your shirt, give him your coat too. What? I just want a free meal here. How come you're asking me to put my body in harm? And there's this incredible peace in John chapter 6 at verse 66 where there are thousands of people that are following Jesus and then all of a sudden they start to walk away. Because it seems like Jesus is asking just too much. Wow. Thousands of fans and only a few followers. So as the thousands leave, starting to read chapter 6, verse 66, from this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. Now, this breaks my heart. Listen to Jesus. We don't see it very often where Jesus is shaken or disturbed. He's usually in control. But listen to his wording. He says, you do not want to leave too, do you? He said to the 12. My heart sinks. You go from thousands wanting to be around. You go from thousands wanting to have your time to all of a sudden there's only 12. And Jesus says, you do not want to leave too, do you? Simon Peter answered him. He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. I want to tell you, folks, it's going to get hard. We've been warned of that. What then? Do you leave? Or do you just keep living the godly life that he's given you enough to live? Everybody bow your heads. Whew! I didn't turn on the fan behind me. I'm getting warm. That's just not good. You do not want to leave too, do you? You do not want to leave too, do you? Lord, to whom shall we go? We have come to believe. We've come to believe. I told the first service, you know what, or will you go through the tribulation, all those sorts of things. If you don't see that the world is being set up for the end times, then you ain't paying attention. Either that or you don't know Scripture, right? There has to come a moment when the world comes under one rule, and it'll be the Antichrist, which means there'll be one currency, which means they're setting you up now to get rid of bills, and they're getting rid of debt, and he's going to be the savior of the world, so it seems. And then they're going to tell you, because they've already conditioned you, to get a shot for your neighbor or whatever the divisive thing is. They're going to say, you need to be chipped so that you don't pass bills, so that you can love your neighbor. You need to do it for those who can't defend themselves. And pretty soon, people are going to be lined up getting a chip in their right hand or their forehead. If you're still around, I don't think I will be. That's a personal thought. I'd love to have coffee. I'll share with you why on some of the things Jesus said. But if you are still here and they say you need a chip in your hand or your forehead, don't. You're going to be preconditioned to say, trust the government. Don't. Because it will cost you eternity. The Bible's clear on that. I think it's going to be more the Jews that deal with that than you or I. And I have reasons for that. Either way, if that day ever comes, do not take a chip. And let me be very clear, the vaccine is not the chip. Okay? Because they'll let you get it in your left arm. Okay? I don't fear the virus. I don't fear the vaccine. You want to talk about where I'm at? That's a private conversation. I don't think people should be losing their jobs right now. Wow, that got political and dark. But dark times are coming. What are you going to do when it gets tough? Are you going to show self-control and let your light shine even though it may cost you? You see, that's part of Peter's list, isn't it? That sometimes you'll be punished because of your faith, and it's only because of your faith. That's what the world will come to. But guess what? Those who went before us were already there. And to their faith, they added self-control, guarded every response. Every response was done in love, pointing to a God of love, even when it hurt. Do you need self-control? How about perseverance? Are you holding on? Oh, church, it is so worth it. Hold on, hold on. Stand your ground. Because what awaits you, is wonders you cannot fathom. Heaven is full. The universe still expanding, ready for you to explore. Oh, I know the banquet, like we've been given so little bit of heaven, we just gotta have enough. The great banquet, right? Woo! In the new Jerusalem, awesome. But then all of the universe is open to you. That's why it's still expanding. God's still creating. He's making wonders you can't fathom. He's given us a glimpse. Wait, hold on. Hold on. See Jesus face to face. Hold on. Hold on to see the freaky creatures that guard the throne just because it's going to be a mind trip. Woo! Hold on. Hold on to see those who went before you like my pa. Many of you don't know him. I want you to. I want you to get to know my dad. Hold on. Stay alert. Show some self-control. Ooh, because all eternity is promised to you and to me. Ooh, hold on. Hold on. Okay, real quick, getting personal. Keep your eyes closed. You don't need to be looking around. How many of you would just say by uplifted hand that you need to be working on self-control? It's been a little short lately. Anybody? It's okay. It could be just simple as giving somebody a finger. It could be you're dabbling in sin. I want you to know, man, oh man, those choices, they're not accidents. I want to pray for all of you. How many of you would say that you need... Whew, talk about timing, perseverance. You're ready to throw in the towel. You're just so frustrated you want to walk away. Anybody there? Just put up your hand real quick. Confess. I'm going to be praying for all of you. Hold on. Hold on. Whew, it's not easy. It's not easy. You can... Oh, it's not easy. But your light can still shine even in the craziest of places. Sometimes it's so dark. And there's crosses involved. And you're being hung naked upon him. And you could still point to the Father. Whew. Hold on. Let's pray. Father God, I want to pray for each one. Whew. This has been crazy. And Lord, I'm so sick of this pandemic. I just wish that you would come and take it all away. I think it's setting us up for something that's even bigger. So Lord, while I hate it, I believe it's necessary. The control grab is driving me nuts because I'm a hillbilly at heart. I need to show self-control because, Lord, it's all leading to something bigger and it's necessary. You allow the governments that rule over us. And I hate that verse, but it's true. Lord, help us to show self-control, to be spiritually alert, to adding daily to our faith spiritual awareness. If we don't know the answer, let us ask, let us seek, let us get in the Word. Lord, let's not settle for being numb or dumb. Let us seek you in all of your wisdom. Father God, I pray that we would also be adding to that self-control, perseverance, that we'd be holding on. That even though we feel beaten up at times, Lord, we would never give up. We would never dare to give up when we think of all that you did for us. And Lord, help us to understand. Help heaven to draw close so that we would know what awaits. Whew, God, help us to hold on. Help us to hold on. Lord, for each one that's struggling, whether it be self-control or perseverance, I pray that you would fill us to full and overflowing. Father God, as we continue to work through this list, challenge us, change us, break us, mold us, fill us.
and have your way in our lives, we pray. We thank you that you are always there in the midst of even the storm. We love you, and we'll hold on. We'll just keep living this godly life. We'll just keep living. In Jesus' name.